In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O little Teresa of the Child Jesus, please pick for me a rose from the heavenly gardens and send it to me as a message of love. O little flower of Jesus, ask God today to grant the favors I now place with confidence in your hands. Saint Teresa, help me to always believe as you did in God's great love for me, so that I might imitate your little way each day. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've pondered and learned to be still, and to be prayerful, and to be little, to be present, to be grateful. Now this morning, let us ponder to be loving. That is a huge part of the little way. G.K. Chesterton once said of St. Francis of Assisi, he said, quote, "He was a lover of God, and he was really and truly a lover of men, possibly a much rarer mystical vocation." Meaning that that's pretty hard. To be a lover of people. There are lots of people who can be lovers of God. It's very challenging and hard to be loving of people. But Therese was just like St. Francis of Assisi in a certain sense. May have had a different method, her little way, but she very much emphasized the love of others. Therese loved God passionately. That makes sense. She's a cloistered nun. But she loved her neighbor with equal zeal, we're told, a more difficult virtue to sustain. Her life in the convent was far from being isolated. In fact, it was probably even more intensely difficult for her once she entered the convent, because of the number of sisters in the monastic life. And there were difficult personalities. There were sometimes problems that seemed quite petty to her. And she couldn't escape. You can go on a long drive to Arizona if you want, if things are rough at home. But, you know, she can't. She couldn't. She couldn't escape because of the confines of the cloister. And so she tackled the situation. She didn't want to be someone who didn't love others around her, that she would see every day in the hall, every day in the refectory, the cafeteria, every day in the chapel, every day. And so she tackled it with her customary determination. She had a real strong will. And she said, "Without love, all we do is worthless." St. Paul would say, "I'm a clanging gong," right? A clashing cymbal without love. She said, "Without love, all we do is worthless." And she added, "The only thing that can be called love is the complete sacrifice of oneself." Love takes sacrifice. Love is a decision. It's not a feeling. We can sometimes feel love. But sometimes, even in regards to God, sometimes people say, "I don't feel His presence." She herself had to decide to love God, for she had much darkness and aridity in her spiritual life. Love is a decision, and it is a sacrifice. On the crucifix, we see the greatest example of love. He made a decision. He sacrificed. He gave all for us. That is the most pure example of love, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And so too, in the ordinary things of life then, where maybe we're not being nailed to a cross, but we've got to be able to love in the midst of hardship and tough personalities or people who do not think the way we do, or those who will not obey us if they're under our authority, as children are sometimes, or whatever it may be. Love takes sacrifice. And love of neighbor didn't come to Therese easily, not at first at least. She had to work at it, just like the rest of us. However, She had, as it's been described, that fierce determination to conquer herself. Love isn't a conquering someone else. I want to love that person as if somehow I'm going to beat that person. They're trying to annoy me, but I'm going to beat that person. No, it's not a victory like that. It's not. It's a victory over self. It's a victory over my heart. She had a determination to conquer herself and love those around her. Here is one of her classic examples of it that she wrote about in her Story of a Soul. At meditation, I was for a long time always near a sister who never stopped fidgeting with either her rosary or something else. Perhaps I was the only one who heard it, as my ears are very sharp, but I could not tell you how it irritated me. Once again, how refreshing, a saint with whom we can identify. She was so normal. She goes on to write, what I wanted to do, again, just like us, what I wanted to do was to turn and stare at her until she stopped her noise. But deep down, I knew it was better to endure it patiently. First, for the love of God. And secondly, so as not to upset her. So she conquers herself. It's not an attitude like, I'm going to just keep praying. I'm not going to let her bother me. It's kind of like, I'm going to treat her like a gnat and she'll go away. I've conquered the gnat. I've conquered her. I'm not going to let her get me. No. She doesn't turn around and stare, because she wants to conquer herself out of love of God, and secondly, so as not to upset her. It's an act of charity towards this other nun. So I made no fuss, though sometimes I was soaked with sweat under the strain. And even though my prayer was nothing but the prayer of suffering. So that day, perhaps she didn't meditate very well because it was distracting. But she turned it into a prayer of love, a prayer of suffering. It wasn't what she would have liked to do that day, to have some quiet prayer or maybe read something, and she couldn't reflect on it because it was too distracting. But she conquered self in order to love another, and it was a prayer, she calls it, of suffering. Very interesting, very powerful. At last, I tried to find some way of enduring this suffering calmly and even joyfully. So then she begins to take it to a next level. I tried to find some way of enduring this suffering calmly and even joyfully. So I did my best to enjoy this unpleasant little noise. Instead of trying not to hear it, which was impossible, I strove to listen to it carefully as if it were a first-class concert. And my meditation, which was not the prayer of quiet at that moment, was spent in offering this concert to Jesus. So she conquered herself. She was able to turn it into a concert for Jesus, to find something pleasing about it. And that's part of the being loving of the little way, is a little bit also of like last night being grateful, not focusing on the negative, but trying to find something positive, counting our blessings. So in the same sort of way, in this situation, she was not going to let that, destroy her. She would conquer self and then try to see if that little tic-tac noise of the rosary against the pew or whatever it was could somehow be a little bit of a sound of music, We're supposed to hear, go out and create creation, and hear the concert of beauty amongst all the animals. Well, the warble of some birds is quite pleasing and beautiful, and the caw of a crow is quite annoying. But in God's ears, it's all beautiful. And to hear that call of the crow, that hoarse, coarse call of the crow as something beautiful would be very good to do, because God made the crow. And he made all the animals to have different voices and sounds. There's a song, "All God's Creatures Have a Place in the Choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. But they all are beautiful to God." And in very like fashion, this is what she was trying to do in being loving, is turn something that would normally annoy a person into something beautiful. Try to find something beautiful in it. We never get to that place. Someone's annoying us, and all we can do is think of the annoying tic-tac. We never get to the next step of trying to say, well, what's nice about that? We don't get there. And she did. Again, it was not to conquer the other person. I'll show that person. That person's not going to get me. No. It was rather to conquer self. Conquer self. Find the beauty in the crow's caw. Find the beauty in the little annoying imperfection of the person or the sound. We so often zero in on the imperfection of others that we fail to see their goodness and their acts of virtue. To be loving is to notice the beauty of the person. To be loving is to notice the beauty that God put in that person and the reason that that person exists. We sometimes wish a person wouldn't exist. Well, that's contrary to God, because God willed that that person exist. And so it's kind of like we're saying, this puzzle piece, it'd be better if this person just, this piece didn't exist. And yet, when a puzzle is completed and there's one piece missing, everybody's searching under the couch and every place else because it's not perfect till you find it. And it annoys us to no end when the whole puzzle's done but one piece. And the same with every person on earth. It would be annoying to God if we eliminate somebody. They all are important in the puzzle. They all make up his beautiful creation. Saint Teresa held that there is nothing sweeter than to think well of our neighbor. There is nothing sweeter than to think well of our neighbor. And one way she tried to bring unity, love, and respect to her community, the Carmelite Monastery, was through the spreading of joy. Good theme for today. This happens to be Laetare Sunday, which means joy, as I mentioned before. And so I'll be wearing rose-colored vestments at the Mass at 11 o'clock. And she was really keen on that. She was keen about bringing joy to the community. Jesus, she proclaimed, loves a cheerful heart. Remember? Christ taught that. God loves a cheerful giver. Jesus loves a cheerful heart, St. Teresa said. He loves people who are always smiling. And as novice mistress, she was in charge of the novices for numerous years, she urged young novices to struggle, work hard against moody dispositions. She wanted them to maintain, as well as possible, a calm, peaceful, and serene demeanor, for in her opinion, nothing made community life more depressing than sad faces and strained brows. Once again, she was teaching them to conquer self in order to be loving. To love the other, you know, not to conquer the other, but to love the other by conquering self. She told them to struggle and work hard against moody dispositions. And she preached this by her own example. I don't know how many pictures you've seen of Therese, but they are just all sweet. Though her life was filled with much suffering and pain, and I don't know if you know all the suffering and pain, She lost her mother at age 4. She grew up very sensitive and emotional, and finally she had kind of a Christmas conversion that helped her conquer her emotions. But throughout her growing up years, she would be upset by something, she'd cry about it, and then she was mad that she cried about it, so she'd cry that she cried, you know. And she experienced much spiritual darkness later in her life in the convent, much spiritual darkness in her spirituality. She suffered for 18 months from tuberculosis. And last 3 months, she was breathing with one-third of one lung. She essentially died the way he did. She suffocated to death with no medications that we would have nowadays to relax somebody or calm them, because the struggle was so huge and great. She suffocated to death with tuberculosis of the lungs. She had a lot of sufferings. But because of all this, and she died at the tender age of 24, and though her life was one continuous suffering, her face was always lit up with a perpetual smile. And you see it in the pictures of her. She was the soul of gaiety during recreations, the nuns would say. She picked them up. Though she was hurting more than they, any of them, she was the one who would try to pick them up. Not that she felt good inside. She didn't feel good inside. With God, she was in spiritual darkness, and physically, she felt awful. But she saw community recreation time as a time to love others. She was being loving. And so she would try to pick them up. She wanted to smile and have fun during recreation, not so much for her own relaxation, but rather for the recreation of others. She smiled to make others smile. It was an act of love of neighbor. True charity makes us forget ourselves and seek the welfare of others. Saint Teresa wished to render service to those about her. She put herself at the disposal of all. She was always ready to help anyone who asked her, and she would interrupt her own work to do so. She stated this. Now, why would she interrupt her own work to help someone else? She said, "Think that it is Jesus who is asking this service of you. How eager and friendly you will then be in granting the favor requested." So you've got your work to do every day, and someone comes up and says, "Would you do this rather for me?" And it bugs us, you know? And yet she says, "Well, what if Jesus came up and said, would you do this for me?" We'd gladly drop our project and do it for Jesus. And she's saying, think of it that way. It's Jesus who's asking. In her charity, there is something that is even better than to give to him who asks. She says, we can also offer ourselves. Saint Teresa said, we must anticipate the desires of others and show that we are much obliged, very honored to be able to render service. The good Lord wants me to forget myself in order to give pleasure to others. One time I read heard in a conference the way to spell joy, because she was so intent on being loving and bringing joy to others. And this little saying goes hand in hand. You've probably heard it before, that if you want to spell joy, you spell joy, J-O-Y, put Jesus first, others second, and you'll fall right in place. Put Jesus first, others second, and you will fall right in place, right where we belong. You know, not the first, but the last. Not the biggest, but the least. The little way. Truly is the little way. To be loving is part of the little way. To love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. To the point where you put your neighbor before yourself. Jesus first, others second, and you'll fall right in place. Love requires the heart, a giving of self. And so one of my favorite quotes of Saint Teresa is. To love is to give all and oneself. To love is to give all and oneself. That ties in with the be present, doesn't it? To really give oneself to the person. Because we could say, maybe a dad is feeling very like unappreciated. And he stops his family and says, I've been working hard for you. I've been buying good food and I pay for the shelter and the utilities and the comforts. I've been working, I've been giving everything to you, everything I've been giving to you. And they might say, but Dad, we'd just like to have you come and spend time with us sometimes. Play catch, you know, go to a game, just be with you. That's part of what she's saying here. That to really love, to be loving, is to give all and oneself. In our modern world, it can be quite easy to plop some money in a basket and say, I've given. To support the cause, pro-life, and vote for the pro-life candidate. We do things like that. That's very good. But to give oneself to someone is kind of like that final effort of truly loving. And so he gave all and oneself. It's a sacrificial love. To give oneself is the pinnacle of the sacrificial giving of love. To give all and oneself. And that's what moved her to do what she was doing in the community. She was giving all the time, in her chores, in her work, in her prayers, praying hard for herself and her community. You know, she was doing everything she was supposed to. She was being a very obedient religious. But she knew to be truly loving, she needed to give all of that and her very being, herself. And that's why she would try to present herself to the others to help lift them up. As he gave himself to lift us up, she was kind of doing the same thing, dying to self, so she could lift up the others around her. That is what it means to give all. To love is to give all and oneself. The climactic display of this love of Thérèse, in her little way, is seen close to her death, when the nuns were gathered around her bed. And they were trying to comfort her and soothe her, and she's dying this terrible, traumatic death of suffocation, of tuberculosis. And they tried to soothe her by saying, dear little sister, soon your sufferings will be over and you'll be able to rest in peace. Soon your sufferings will be over and you'll be okay. You'll be able to rest in peace. She was quite alarmed by that statement. She understood that they still didn't understand her. And she said, oh no, when I die, that is when I will really begin to work. I will spend my heaven doing good upon earth. I will let down a shower of roses, meaning her intercessory help, that she would be down here with us helping. Now, you know, when we think of heaven, we're thinking, I want to get to heaven. I want to be happy. Heaven is that great retirement in the sky. No more work, no more problems, no more suffering, no more sacrifice. Just put my glorified feet up in my glorified chair and sit and relax. I think that's what most people think. I want to go upstairs. I want to go up there and be happy. And she said, I want to go up there to work, you know. What she was stating, ultimately, and here she dies at 24. Who in their 20s even thinks this way? You know, we can't find 40, 50s, and 60-year-olds thinking this way. But she was thinking that way because she was going to continue to really love in heaven. And to love is to give all and oneself. She couldn't think of just sitting around with her feet up. She wanted to help people down here because she truly loved people, really loved people. That is part of the little way. Always thinking of others, that is true charity. And so let us be loving. In addition to all these other beautiful little themes of the little way. Let us be loving. It is not easy. Therese knew it wasn't easy. She told her novices to struggle to do this. She knew they had to struggle because it is not easy to be loving, and especially with some personalities in our lives. But it doesn't mean we can give up. With the little way, with confident trust in God, we keep trying to be loving. Let us renew in our hearts and minds the importance of living the little way. It is the only way to live true charity, for to love is to give all and oneself.